Dear God, it has been 10 days since my last confession. I believe my congregation have begun to notice my absence. I am besieged by concerned phone calls and such. I haven't been seen in over a week after all. My usual visitations have gone unfulfilled, my duties ignored. I have, to the belief of some, been very much dead, and yet more alive than ever before. For I succumbed to that which I feared the most. Even saying such words in this holy place feels almost beyond comprehension. Were I to tell my younger, foolish self that I would say such things, I doubt I would have considered the words anything but those of a madman, and yet, here I sit, confessing to you that I have sinned. I have sinned, and I hold no regret. None, Father, if I might still be so bold as to call you such. It feels foolish to worry over such things now, after all. For over the past 10 days I have defiled my pure, innocent self, and I have become something else. And I have defiled another, too. You know her, of course. She is one of your own, at least. She was. Right now I am unsure whether she still holds her faith in the same esteem as I once did. She too has changed in mind and in soul. She has warped under the weight of her sin, and I have experienced a side of her that I am enthralled to. My young, innocent flower girl, whose hands now create beauty in other ways, the choir singer whose voice now serves a much darker purpose, the recipient of my love and lust and primal desire, I fucked her, Lord. I fucked her, and I defiled her, and I stole her innocence and devoured it. I snatched away the purity of her soul, and she showed no resistance. She wanted me to. She was hungry for me, as I was for her. And we came together that night here in this very church, and I tasted her flesh. She tore at my vestments, and I at the dress that shrouded her body from my eyes. Her hands caressed and groped and searched my flesh with no hesitation, and I discovered every inch of her young, innocent, and pale flesh with sinner's hands. I was nothing but an animal that night, and the sounds we made together matched such a name. When I pierced her flesh with my own, she cried out and held me, her fingernails biting into my skin. Oh, the pain was exhilarating. She held my flesh prisoner in her passion, and I gave myself to her. Our bodies came together in heat and sweat and desire, and under your watchful eye, she fucked me like a demon. Lucifer's own, oh yes. For she was possessed by some dark force. Some toxic power that moulded her into something dark, something animalistic and hungry. Her breasts filled my hands, and I squeezed much to her pleasure. Her nipples grew hard under my rough touch, and I took them in my mouth with lust. She took my lips onto hers with savage kisses, her tongue and mine finding each other. Her moans were many and incredible, and I found myself drunk on her body, her mutual need for my flesh so addictive. I have never felt as alive as I did then. She begged for my seed, and I gave it to her willingly, deep inside her, all of it, every drop. She shivered as ecstasy racked her body, and I'll admit, I thought of you then. Thought of you looking down on us as we defiled your house, as my naked body held her down, held her prisoner, willing and happy and eager for more. And more is precisely what I gave her. I gave her everything. We spent that entire night defiling this church together, leaving the remnants of our bodily fluids across the pews and back rooms and floors of this place. I'll admit, we never made use of the altar. So aggressive were our sinful passions, I could nary lift her up onto the stone surface, much to my disappointment. I did, at that point, figure I may as well do all I could to ensure my descent to hell. We fucked in my car, in my bed, with a wooden visage of your son hanging over us, as we very nearly forced the headboard through the wall. Even in her bed, with her parents off assisting my standing at Sunday Mass, she took my seed in her mouth and swallowed it as she once did communion wine, although I believe from her moans she enjoyed this much, much more. She caught every drop that slipped from her chin to her round, full breasts and sucked her fingers clean of my taste. My hands, hands that had once blessed and prayed and served you, Lord, had awoken something in her so primal and uncontrollable, something so delicious and exciting and addictive. Even now I question why I'm even here, when I know she lies in my bed, wearing little or perhaps nothing, waiting for me, her former priest, her former guide, and now lover to return to give her what she craves more, I believe, than oxygen. And if you were to hear her cries, you might be swayed too. And certainly more than the fulfillment of her faith, the golden crucifix she has worn around her neck since childhood is now nothing more than a sadistic implement of our lovemaking. The way she would once hold it while praying, she now holds my flesh. The way she once prayed to you, she now prays to me, although still on her knees and still in worship. Just as I worship her, with my sinner's tongue finding its way between her legs to taste and drink and devour her wet, warm flesh. Nothing ever tasted as fine, I promise you. Imagine were her father to discover us, as we have numerous times, gasping at the sight of a man of faith, their friend and frequent house guest, holding their daughter down, breasts pressed against my chest, spying my hard, rigid flesh sliding out of her dripping innocence, cream-white streams of my lust slipping from her. Would he see the fire in my eyes and think me possessed as he reaches for a cross and I for her breasts in unabashed, blatant ignorance of my crime? I suppose this is a goodbye, at least for me anyway. This life holds no allure for me anymore, no reward, not in comparison to what I have found with her. True passion incarnate, my heart's desires unshackled, unrestricted by rules and scripture, limited only by the restrictions my body binds me with, and those limits are sure to be stretched by our pleasures. For she is insatiable and I am no different. Both finally unbound by our faith, bathing in the hypocrisy of my former life. A proud man of the cloth, turned starved sexual miscreant. That does have a nice ring to it. Although I cast off the titles and roles of your preacher, your man, the bothersome congregation and tedious sermons gone as well, I think I'll hang on to the robes and collar. She still likes me to wear those. Amen.